Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Here ends our gospel lesson.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Been thinking about these two verses from Proverbs a lot this week, and to give me a lot to go on. And one right, I was actually pretty excited to see that Proverbs was our first lesson for this week. And I read a commentary that said in our lectionary cycle over the 3 years, Proverbs is included only 3 times. So it's kind of a rare occasion, actually, to have a reading of Proverbs in our lectionary cycle. But then I looked at it, and it's only 2 verses long. And so it's kind of, what do you say about that? In a straightforward fashion, Proverbs has much to say to especially the people in the ancient world, and is kind of a how-to manual of advice. Many of the Proverbs are little pithy statements that give bits of wisdom, right? Like a rope of 3 cords is not easily broken, this famous proverb that's quoted. One I liked in college, and some of us shared, was as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Another proverb. And there's many of like that that kind of make it through. Little bits of advice, quotes that you can hang your hat on. And in many ways, this seems to be straightforward here too. The 2 verses say, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Now, as I was ruminating on this, I got literal for a second and say, "Huh, do I know any kings?" About the closest I ever got was when we were in Iceland, our group had the honor of meeting with the president of the country. Now, don't get too excited. Iceland only at the time had 330,000 people, which is less than the state of Wyoming, our lowest populated state in the United States. It was still pretty cool, though, meeting with the president, you know, head of state. And yet, he was not a king. Though Iceland in the past has been beholden to the king of Norway and the king of Denmark and others, currently, there's no kings that we bow down. Castes of nobility have been dismantled, and we live in nations of laws and rulers and elected officials. So, do we have to pay attention to this at all? Does it have anything to say in our 21st century modalities and dinner tables and codes of etiquette and ethics and such like that? Well, I think the principle here still has a lot to say to how we think about our lives, how we think about our social relationships, and how we think about ourselves. This is made more clear in our gospel lesson. There are definite themes of humility and self-importance that I think are age old. And as a Lutheran, a lifelong Lutheran too, the phrase Lutheran humility pops into my mind immediately, especially coming from the Midwest, where we self-proclaim ourselves to be so humble, we're almost prideful about it. I know, right? It's really a thing. It's like, you know, it gets ridiculous at times. How much people will avoid letting others provide for them and pay the check, right? Or do, oh, I cannot be helped. I'm so humble. It's prideful. Goes to a level that transcends truly being humble to not letting, thinking so much of yourself that you can't be helped at all. It's funny how that kind of cuts both ways sometimes when you think about it. Some people are so boastful, there's not an ounce of humility in them. But some people are humbled to an extreme that it really does become prideful in certain ways. Now, another thing I've been thinking about with this text, in specifically Proverbs, is how it informs Jesus' teaching in the gospel lesson that we read from Luke. Now, I'm not sure that in our completed canon between Old Testament and New Testament, we always pick up on the fact that Jesus had scripture too. But Jesus' scripture was the Old Testament. So when he talks about the scriptures say this and the scriptures say that, he's really referring to the prophets and the Torah, you know, the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these were the scriptures that informed his life. And that seems to be very true in his teaching from Luke, that these two little verses from Proverbs make up the bedrock of the parable that he teaches to the Pharisees and to his disciples at the banquet. So it's important that we see that Scripture informs Scripture. The New Testament figures often cite, especially passages from Isaiah. Here we have the Proverbs. Oftentimes the Psalms are very present as well amongst our New Testament teachings. So Scripture informs Scripture, which is powerful when you think about it. And it takes a little bit of work, but as Christians, we should pay attention to the fact that the Old Testament informs the New. It's not like they kind of picked up somewhere new and forgot about the past or something like that as they did a new thing. But it all is wrapped up together, especially in passages like this. So Jesus goes a step further. He goes a step further from practical wisdom of, and don't over exalt yourself and self-proclaim your greatness at fear of being shamed and embarrassed in the seat of the nobles. Jesus goes further than that to say, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors in case they might invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. You will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. He goes a step further than Proverbs, though he, you know, begins in the same place, saying, do not exalt yourself. He says, make a way for the poor. Make a way for the uninvited. Make a way for the hungry, the homeless, those who can give you nothing in return. For that is the true definition of Christian generosity, that we give to those who cannot repay us, that we pour out of what we have to provide for others, that we show love and generosity to others in the same way that God shows it to us. Powerful, profound, challenging. Before service, I was talking a little bit with Chris Schock about tax categories for pastors and stuff. And believe it or not, as I read this gospel passage, my mind was thinking about the IRS. It's a weird occupation, what you think about as you reflect on scripture as a pastor. But the reason I was thinking about it is categories for charitable giving. That when people give to the church, their tax contributions, you know, the write-offs that they get for that, are the same as when people give to political campaigns. It's counted 100% the same in the eyes of the IRS. And I assure you, when you give to the church, you go to, all that money goes to causes that, you know, maybe I'll repay you in a good sermon or something, a slap on the back or something, but you're probably not getting that money back. In many ways, the money that you give to the church also goes to provide for services and supporting ministries like the breadbasket, Shepherd's Table, providing for Sunday school education for others, providing for others, youth group needs, and so on and so forth. You give to others when you give to the church. You give to others when you give to charities like Helping Hands Fund or Habitat for Humanity, things like that. When you give to a politician and he or she is elected, depending on your connection with that politician, you may get that money back in terms of benefits, in terms of business deals, favorable tax policy, I don't know, whatever the case may be, right? And it seems to be, at least in our legal codes, in one right, charitable donations are, and you know, represented in the tax code, in Jesus' words here, when you give towards one charitable cause. But when that same charitable cause, and or when that's a political donation, is deemed a charitable donation, becomes a little suspect, up against Jesus' words here. And I'm not bragging on political contributions. I'm just saying that. The spirit and the intent of one gift is different, I think, than the other, right? Here, Jesus calls us to be generous, even to those who can give us nothing in return. To be generous simply because others are in need. And to do so, we humble ourselves, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but to place the needs of others above our own. And in doing so, we live in line with Jesus' mission on earth, that his whole reason for existence was to lift up the lowly, each and every one of us, and pour out his entire life, his entire being, as an offering, a donation, if you will, for the rest of us. Jesus came to lift up the lowly and lift up each of us in our lowliest times of need. And when we give to others, we emulate that, especially when we can give to those who give nothing back. That is the true spirit of Christian generosity, for that is the generosity that Christ himself exhibited on the cross when he poured out everything he had so that we may be made whole, even though we can give him nothing in return. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.